T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings. And hope if you're an Ole Miss football fan or a Mississippi State football fan or an Alabama football fan or a University of Memphis football fan, you enjoyed a weekend of victories. Nice weekend for most of the teams of local interest. We'll get into some college football stuff momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you, 420. Dennis Dodd's going to join me. Covers college football for CBS Sports. He was at the Alabama-Arkansas game over the weekend, so we'll talk to him about that, about the status of Bryce Young, and I'll ask him about Ole Miss, about Tennessee, both of which are now ranked in the top 10 of the AP poll, and Dennis Dodd's college football power rankings. Dodd's going to join me in the next segment. After that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point we'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them the Atlanta Braves. Last night, completed a 3-game sweep of the New York Mets to take control of and all but clinch the National League East. Just a pathetic effort from the Mets, who will now likely play the Padres in a best-of-3 wildcard series starting Friday at Citi Field. What happened? What was that about?
That was rough, dude. I thought about you this weekend.
You got Jacob DeGrom going Friday night, Max Scherzer going Saturday, and Chris Bassett going Sunday. You can't win one game? You can't win one game? All you had to do was win one game. It's just frustrating. You win one? You got two of the best pitchers of all time. Can you win one game?
I thought one would happen.
Oh, my God. We'll expand on this disappointment around 4:44. We got a fishing scandal in Ohio with some wild video footage. Some cheaters getting caught cheating. It's turned the world of fishing on its head. Are you aware?
No.
That the world of fishing has been turned on its head?
I had no clue.
Oh, it's great. Video's incredible. Tell you more about it a little later on this hour. The unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant who was involved in treating Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa during the Bills game 2 Sundays ago has been fired. Wasn't hard to see that coming. I'll tell you more about that just before 5 o'clock. And the Memphis Grizzlies going to play the preseason home opener tonight inside FedEx Forum. Paolo Banchero and the Orlando Magic are in town. Get you ready for that. There are four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always, that I'll eventually do. Dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with college football because, broadly speaking, it was a nice weekend for a number of teams with local interest. Ole Miss beat Kentucky 22-19, moved up to number 9 in the AP poll. Mississippi State beat Texas A&M 42-24, moved up to number 23 in the AP poll. Alabama smashed Arkansas 49-26, moved back up to number one in the AP poll thanks to Georgia struggling at Missouri. And the Memphis Tigers beat Temple 24-3 despite having 0 points in the first two quarters, nearly 0 points in the first three quarters. So let's stop here, Big Bev Bennett. Memphis is now 4-1 overall, 2-0 in the AAC, with the lone loss coming at number 23, Mississippi State. That's good. But the Tigers were still stuck on 0 points with just 96 seconds left in the third quarter. And there were fewer than 24,000 fans inside the stadium. That's the bad. Are you more excited about the good or troubled by the bad?
I'm glad that they're 4-1. I'm glad that they're 4-1. I would take 4-1 all day, every day. If you told me I could have that when the season started, give it to me. You know, I do think that it was a little bit concerning that that game was so close early on, but they've ended up.
It was so close deep.
I mean,
they pulled away late, so it looks like 24-3, no big deal.
That's right.
With 96 seconds left in the third quarter, with 97 seconds left in the third quarter, I should say, the Tigers had 0 points.
And I think that is a little concerning. You know, the crowd, that's just hard for me, man. I mean, you look all over the country, like I heard, what was it? They had 24,000 at the game on Saturday. I think that was the number. You know, that's like that. What was the game? The game I was thinking. Oh, I guess kind of comparable game. Houston and Tulane played on ESPN on Friday night. It's a home game for Houston. And they had 24,000 people. Like, I think that this is just kind of what's happening with college football right now. Attendance is down. I think it's just a tough spot. We talk about wanting to watch everything on your TVs all the time a lot. I just think it's a problem across the country. I don't think it's so specific to what's happening in Memphis.
We are obsessed in this market with attendance figures. Always have been. I'm not real sure why. But like, it is something that gets talked about here. The truth is, having roughly 24,000 people for a Memphis football game is only troubling relative to Power Five schools and what Memphis football was really under Mike Norvell. And so it looks bad relative to that, but you're exactly right. If you ever take the time to look at comparable Group of Five programs, it's about the same thing.
It's about the same. Yeah. And it doesn't help that, like, you know, and they're working on this, but that you have this massive stadium, and so it looks bad on TV.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, when they would come back, were we on ESPNU the other day?
I think that's right.
When they come back from commercial and they would show a live look at the stadium from above, it just looks like nobody's there.
Right.
Because you put 20, and this is all stuff we've talked about for years. You know, you put 24,000 people in a stadium of that size, it looks like nobody's there. If you put 24,000 people in a 38,000 seat stadium, it looks much better. Same amount of people, just much better. I told you, even maybe not at the height of Mike Norvell, but certainly in times when Memphis was good, like, you know, either ranked or close to being ranked, competing for conference titles. Often those games would be on CBS Sports Network. So some of my friends are in studio for those games, colleagues. And I would get a text message, and they would go, GP, man, Memphis is good. Memphis is fun. Why is nobody there? And I'd say, there's 35,000 people there. Like, there's a lot of people there relative to a, you know, Group of Five college football program. It just doesn't look like it because it's 35,000 people in a stadium that's too big. So that's a perception problem. And I should acknowledge, it's also like a real problem. Like Memphis, I think Laird Veach would tell you this, is the type of athletic department, they need the revenue from football games.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, they need to make that money. When they're not selling those tickets and getting those people in that stadium, that is money they're not generating that they need to generate. So I'm not trying to say, don't worry about it. I'm just trying to say, I think what you said is accurate. It's still comparable with most Group of Five college football programs, and it's only disappointing relative to, you know, when you look at Neyland Stadium, or Ohio State or Alabama, or really, like, you know, let's not limit it to the tip top of the sport. Even you look at Vault Hemingway Stadium, you know, that, like, when Ole Miss is rocking and rolling, it looks different. But if you compare Memphis to other Memphis types of programs, and don't compare Memphis to, you know, nationally ranked Ole Miss or what Memphis was at the peak of Mike Norvell, it's not as concerning as it might seem like it would be. The concerning thing is the offense. There's no getting around that. You shouldn't be stuck on zero with 96 seconds left in the third quarter. And yet, that's what Memphis was. And the truth is, after that performance, the offensive numbers are just uninspiring, regardless of where you pick them from. You know, Memphis is fifth in the American Athletic Conference in total yards per game, fifth in passing yards per game, eighth in rushing yards per game, fifth in points per game at just 34.4 points per game. And that's disappointing, but do you realize that's more than they've averaged in the previous 2 years? You know, they only averaged 30.3 points per game last season and only averaged 31 points per game in 2020. So this is a little better in terms of points per game than they've been in recent years under Ryan Silverfield, but it is noticeably less than what they were at the end of Justin Fuente and in those 4 years under Mike Norvell. If you go back and look at it, in 2014, which was the next to last year for Justin Fuente, 2014, they averaged 36.2 points per game. 2015, they averaged 40.2 points per game. 2016, they averaged 38.8 points per game. 2017, 45.5 points per game. 2018, 42.9 points per game. 2019, they averaged 40.4 points per game. And so that's a combination of Justin Fuente and Mike Norvell years. If you just look at the past five seasons, because that's a nice round number, 5 years, a five-year sample size, that's the last year of Justin Fuente and the four seasons of Mike Norvell. If you look at that five-year period before the most recent coaching change, Memphis averaged 41.0 points per game. And in the two-plus years since Ryan took over, it's a total of 28 games, Memphis has averaged just 31.3 points per game. That's 9.7 fewer points per game since Mike Norvell left the University of Memphis. So they're not scoring, and as we mentioned, people aren't really going. But they are winning.
Yeah.
And I think at this point in the season, context matters. And I would focus on that last point more than anything else. Not ignoring the other things. I'd rather see 40,000 than 23. I'd rather see 45 points than 28. But they are winning. And they're 4-1 after being picked fifth in the preseason AAC media poll. And though I don't think they've blown anybody away to get to 4-1, the four victories are all games they were supposed to win. The truth is, because the rest of the league looks whatever, do you realize Memphis is now projected by at least one computer ranking, the Massey rankings, as the third best team in the AAC, and just barely behind UCF as the second best team in the AAC. Memphis is ranked 51st at Massey. UCF is 50th. And, of course, Cincinnati is tops in the AAC. So the Tigers are right now considered the third best team in the AAC and nearly the second best because, again, they're just one spot behind UCF. I think if your team was picked fifth in the AAC and you look up first week of October and they're now projected as the third best and maybe second best team in the AAC, like, I don't know how you get, I don't know how you get too upset about that.
No, I agreed. And, I mean, you've got a pretty mediocre Houston team coming in here on Friday. It's on ESPN2. So you're going to have a little more spotlight on Friday night.
Sure.
Hopefully the crowd will be better because, yeah, chance to go to 5-1, and it hasn't been pretty. But, I mean, you just look at the rest of that schedule, man. Like, they undeniably have a chance to have a pretty nice season.
I'll take it a step further.
Yeah.
And I'm not predicting this. I'm not predicting this. Let me say that one more time. I am not predicting this. But 4-1 right now. Friday night, got Houston coming to Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. 6:30 p.m. kick. It's on ESPN2. The Tigers are listed as a 3-point favorite. Now, some of that's got something to do with Houston has been underwhelming. But whatever. The game's here. Mm-hmm. And Memphis is listed as a 3-point favorite. So if things go the way they're supposed to go on Friday night, Memphis should be 5-1 overall, 3-0 in the ACC on Saturday morning. And according to Massey, as of this minute, they'll be favored in 3 of their final 7 regular season games and never be, and this is the most important part, never be more than a 4-point underdog in any game. So technically, if you just go by the Massey ratings and the projections on each game, what it says is a likely outcome is Memphis 7-5 overall, 4-4 in the ACC before another trip to a bowl game. That's not good. Once you're 4-1, I don't want you finishing 7-5.
Agreed.
All right? So I won't take that. If you said, will you just take that? No, I won't take that. But nothing better than 7-5, including, and again, I'm not predicting this, but including 11-1 is completely off the table. Like, you could tell me the Tigers are going to finish 7-5 or 8-4 or 9-3 or 10-2 or 11-1, and it's all possible because going forward in these final 7 regular season games, they are either going to be favored or just barely be an underdog by a point or 3 points or 4 points based on the computer numbers at this moment. So again, I know 7-5 is much more likely than 11-1. And I guess 7-5 is more likely than 10-2 and even 9-3. But just take everything you think you know about this team or any other team off the table and just recognize the point I'm making. Going forward, whatever you think of them, they're either going to be favored or just barely be an underdog in every game. There is not a can't win that game left on the schedule. Like if you play in the SEC, unless you're Alabama or Georgia, you probably got a can't win that game left on your schedule. If you play in the Big Ten, unless you're Ohio State or Michigan or something like that, you probably got a can't win that game left on your schedule. Memphis does not have a can't-win-that-game left on the schedule. That's Agreed. Just the truth. Not right now. There's not a can't-win-that-game left on the schedule. The Mississippi State game was probably a can't-win-that-game on the schedule, but there's not one.
And it turns out they're pretty good.
Yep. So if I'm a Memphis football fan, that's what I'm focusing on right now. I don't want 0 points with 96 seconds left in the third quarter. You got to be better than that. I'm certain Ryan Silver would be the first person to tell you that. Seth Hennigan, too. But 4-1 through 5 games and projected as a favorite in primetime on national television on Friday night, broadly speaking, on a surface level, that's a pretty good place to be. And we'll see where it goes from here. Dennis Dodd's up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Here come the menaces to sobriety. Like what? Super Thug is thumping on a cut. What?
The Braves completed a three-game sweep of the New York Mets last night to take control of the NL East. Their magic number is now one, which means barring a real, real surprise, basically, the Braves would have to get swept over the next 3 days while the Mets sweep the Nationals. The Braves will be your NL East champions. The Mets will be in a wild card series, probably against the Padres. Unfortunately, we'll talk about it in the next segment. Jeff Cox will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers college football for CBS Sports. It's the great Dennis Dodd making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Dennis Dodd, it's Gary Parrish. How you doing, brother?
TP, how you doing, bud?
I've been better. You know, I've been worse, too, but I've been better. That was a tough series this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you lost some bets or something.
I did lose some bets, and also lost what I thought was going to be an NL East championship. It was it was bad on multiple levels,
yeah.
But whatever. You don't have to worry about that. You're smart enough to not root for a franchise like that. Let's talk about what you were doing this weekend, and that's covering Alabama, Arkansas, 49-26. Alabama goes to Fayetteville and really runs away from the Razorbacks in the fourth quarter, despite losing Bryce Young. Let's start there. I think Nick Saban said today that Bryce Young is going to be considered day-to-day. Do you expect him to play this weekend against Texas A&M?
I don't. I think he's just hedging just because he doesn't want to give it away for Jimbo this week. But I talked to people today. Now, depending on the grade, and there are three grades of these AC sprains in your shoulder, it's a 3 to 5, 4 to 6 week thing. Let me give you an example of a player today. Oh, Quinn Ewers, who had something similar. Now, at Texas. Now, it was his opposite shoulder, not a showing shoulder, but it's been about 4 weeks, and he's expected to come back pretty soon. So this, again, I'm not a doctor. I play one on the radio, but I think it's going to be a little bit long-term.
How big of a drop-off is it to go from Bryce Young to Jalen Milroe?
Yeah, I go back to Nick Saban. You know, one year at Missouri, they had a lightning delay, and the story came out that Nick Saban game plans lightning delays, like what you're going to do down to the minute while you guys are in the locker room. I'm sure he's game planned this, but what if? What if Bryce Young goes down?
Talking to Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports.
He didn't turn the ball over. They threw 9 times after Bryce Young went out with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. And it finally took in the fourth quarter where they ran every play, gained 242 yards, and had like three long runs, 2 of them for touchdowns by Jahmyr Gibbs. So it was good coaching. The kid will not, you know, I don't think he'll lose a game for you. They're not going to run as many drop back passes they do with Bryce, but he's serviceable.
Going down to actually hosting Texas A&M this weekend, yeah. Obviously this comes after Jimbo and Nick Saban had an interesting offseason, verbal back and forth. If I were Nick Saban, I would want to embarrass Jimbo Fisher and his program this weekend, but I'm not sure Nick Saban thinks that way. Do you know whether Nick Saban thinks that way?
Yeah, I mean, I typically – prohibitive favorite. He doesn't run up the score. He has some empathy for the other coach. And I'm talking about some of the media days. They made a kumbaya, we're fine with each other. And I had him on camera and I said, how can you say that about a guy you flat out called a narcissist? And his answer was, he's never been to West Virginia, haven't. Like, that was an answer. He's from West Virginia, different. We can make up sooner. Okay, great. But no, he went out of his way. If you remember, he thought about it for 24 hours after that news came out of Nick said. He had planned something. But the problem is now, look, his team is limping along. They just got blown out. They've got, you know, I don't think much of a shot of winning at Alabama. So I think Nick, if he's given the chance, will lay a number on it.
We have seen Alabama get pushed by Texas. We watched Georgia get pushed by Missouri, yet they remain 1-2 in the AP poll, also in your power rankings. Typically in college football, at least at this point in the season, there appears to be this team that is just unbeatable and won't get touched until the college football playoff. Does this season feel different to you? Are we sure there's that monster of a team out there, like, you know, frankly, Georgia last year?
Yeah, no, you're right. No, there's not that team. And I don't want to say that coming to that realization based on Saturday at Missouri. They shut down the running game for the most part. Stetson Bennett the fourth, threw for 312 yards, no interceptions. They finally got things cranked up in the fourth quarter and won by 4 points. But that proved to me that they've got issues. And they're not the dominant team. Certainly Alabama isn't. You know, the team I like, I'm not going to call them dominant because they have to play Ohio State, but I really like the way Michigan plays. And they have to go on the road and play Ohio State. I get that. It's a one-game season. But they're stronger than last year. They've got what I think is an All-American running back in Blake Corum. The quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, has come through big time after taking the job away from Cade McNamara. And the defense is at least as good as it was last year with Aiden Hutchinson. So I would watch those guys. I think they could easily make it back into the playoff. The issue for Michigan is when they get there, the likes of Notre Dame as well, they are basically taught in a three-hour tutorial, this is how far back you are from the likes of Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia.
Talking to Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. He's on Twitter at Dennis Dodd CBS. You mentioned Michigan out of the Big Ten. Wisconsin fired his coach this weekend, who had, throughout his head coaching career, had done a nice job at Wisconsin. I'm not sure anybody thought he was on the so-called hot seat entering this season, and yet, you know, they pulled the trigger on him pretty quickly. What's the explanation for that?
Yeah, this is unprecedented. Where the message sent basically was, don't you dare dip below a 720 winning percentage, because that's what the guy did in seven and a half seasons at Wisconsin. Three division titles, three championship games, three New Year's Six bowls. The offense, I guess, was antiquated. The AD there, Chris McIntosh, was a former player and a lieutenant of Barry Alvarez, and he's in the athletic department. I guess they wanted to get away from that. And there were recruiting issues. But look, if Wisconsin beats Illinois by the prescribed 6.5 on Saturday, and we're not having this conversation. So to say it was a bit of a knee-jerk, I think, was accurate. And the interim coach thing is really weird. So Jim Leonard, the defensive coordinator, is now the interim coach, well-respected interim coach. But, you know, he's the guy that got a number laid on him by Illinois. He's the guy that was supposed to be the coach in waiting. He's the guy that's been there 7 years, Gary, and now has seven games to prove himself. It seems kind of unfair. You know, you either elevate him or not. You can't be this kind of pregnant thing. So that's what's so weird about this.
Talking to Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. Looking ahead to this weekend, Tennessee, now ranked eighth in the AP poll, undefeated at 4-0, is at LSU and a favorite. If Tennessee is able to go win in Baton Rouge after we just watched Georgia, you know, struggle a bit in Missouri, is it reasonable to start wondering, can Tennessee actually win the East and play in the championship game?
Well, they'd have I think that question will be answered more clearly when they play Alabama at Tennessee, I believe, at a time when Alabama might not have a quarterback. You have 102,000, whatever, screaming down your throat. I think that's going to be a huge test. And I love Hendon Hooker. I've got a story coming on him this week. I talked to him and his dad. And this is a very united family, very close family, but one that has a huge chip on its shoulder, going back to the circumstances under which Hendon Hooker left Virginia Tech. His dad was a Heisman candidate. They had Heisman stickers made up for him. Alan Hooker, when he was a running back at North Carolina A&T. So he knows what his son has gone through. It's all good now, but there's some stuff there that I can't wait to write about that has motivated this family and Hendon.
I'm wrapping up here with Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. Last thing before I let you go, massive win for Ole Miss over the weekend, 22-19 over a Kentucky team that was ranked in the top 10. Ole Miss has now moved into the top 10 heading into Saturday's game at Vanderbilt. How good of a team does Lane Kiffin have down in Oxford?
I think pretty good. I think he might have the best running back room in the country. Obviously, he's done great things with Jackson Dart. The defense looks like the Land Sharks of old. But let's be honest, Kentucky had multiple chances to win that game, to tie that game, and maybe, you know, probably should have won that game. But I'm not going to take away from what Ole Miss has accomplished so far this year. I think it's been great. That's another one. You know, if they go on into the future, what was the biggest question of the offseason in the SEC? Who's the third best team? Well, it looks like right now it's Ole Miss, and that they're the second best team in the West.
It is Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. Make sure you're reading him at CBSSports.com, following him on Twitter at Dennis Dodd CBS, and watching him, of course, on CBS Sports HQ. Terrific stuff, buddy. I appreciate your time.
You bet. Thanks.
Bye-bye. That's Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. Ole Miss season sets up nicely. I mean, you're 5-0, and I know that, you know, the non-league schedule wasn't challenging.
That's how it's going to be in the SEC now, though.
Yeah, you're just not going to play anybody. Unless you're like Alabama.
That's right.
Because you can handle it. But the rest of these schools, for the most part, are going to, at most, typically play one real non-league game and sometimes zero. If I were an SEC football coach not at Alabama, I might play zero interesting non-league games.
Oh, I mean, like, it's been of local news today. Like, that Memphis game got changed against Missouri. They're mm-hmm. going to play in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's the compromise. Like, Missouri don't want to come and play here
because right.
you got a chance to lose and just destroy your season if you're an SEC team,
like,
right?
Like, there's a certain number of SEC games you are probably going to lose.
Right.
If you're not, you know, one of the best teams in the SEC, two or three or four best teams, then there's a certain number. You're just going to take losses. And so why do you want to take them in the non-league schedule?
Right.
So I don't blame Ole Miss for scheduling this way outside of their league. But when you back that 4-0 start with a nice win over it's a Kentucky team that was ranked 7th in the country.
Yeah.
When you go to 5-0 there and then next up at Vandy, that's a projected win.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you get Auburn at home. That's a projected win. And after that, you've got at LSU, which MasseyRatings.com now has a projected score of LSU 28, Ole Miss 26. So it has Ole Miss as a slight underdog there. But there's nothing crazy about thinking Ole Miss is going to be 7-0 heading to LSU with a chance to win the game.
That'd be fun.
That's big time.
Yeah.
That's big time.
That'd be fun.
And if you win that one, I mean, then you're 8-0 going to A&M. Right now, project as a favorite in that one. So now you're 9-0 with Alabama coming to Oxford. That's going to get you on 2:30 p.m. CBS.
Yes, it will. Well, I saw that CBS already picked up the Tennessee-Alabama game.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, you got it's Alabama and Tennessee is top 10 undefeated. It's
yeah.
two massive brands. Like, no question you're picking that up. But, yeah, you know, you could be 9-0. Not necessarily predicting this. I'm just saying it's not unreasonable at this point to think that Ole Miss could be 9-0 and ranked in the top 10, maybe at that point even in the top 5, and you're hosting Alabama on November 12th. And Alabama could be the number one team in the country right then. That'd be massive. That's Katy Perry stuff.
That is Katy Perry stuff. I wonder if they could get someone to that level to come back. The problem is
Katy Perry's not even at that level anymore.
Well, and in fairness, she was playing a concert here in Memphis. Like, it's not like that she just went exclusively to
She didn't just
Oxford.
Fly in Oxford.
No. She made a stop after the Memphis show.
Or was it before the Memphis show?
It was either before. Yeah, I think it was before the Memphis concert. Yeah. So she was,
Yeah, she was in the area.
For
so
a reason.
Could, so
that's
she
right.
could, she could pop down. I don't know. We could figure something. We get somebody there.
We get somebody there. I don't know if you're getting Katy Perry level.
Maybe you get Dua Lipa.
There's no way. They're not getting Dua Lipa to Oxford. I'm sorry.
Maybe get Trevor Noah and Dua Lipa. Did you hear they're dating now?
I did hear that.
Trevor Noah's dating Dua Lipa.
Now I totally get why he wanted to quit The Daily Show.
I'd quit. Just
go hang out with Dua Lipa all the time.
Like, why am I
She's got a lot of money.
Why am I going to do this? Why am I going to do this stupid? Why am I going to do a stupid TV show when I could be hanging out with Dua Lipa?
Yeah, I'll just be your tour manager.
My man quit The Daily Show and started dating Dua Lipa on the same day.
That's a massive come up, right?
That's strong. He was like, Dua Lipa, do you want to get dinner? And she was like, sure. And he's like, I'm quitting my television show.
I want to get Trevor Noah and Dua Lipa to Oxford for game day.
I think that'd be perfect.
That would be awesome.
Can we get? Let's think of other couples we could maybe get. Leonardo DiCaprio and Gigi Hadid.
That'd be fun, too.
That'd be fun, too.
I don't know if Leo's, like, the biggest college football fan.
Doesn't strike me as
He doesn't strike me as a big college football guy. I think he's more of a pro sports guy.
Probably a pro sports guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I think we go to Trevor Noah and Dua Lipa.
I do, too.
I mean, the guy quit his show. He's got some free time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Get Lane Kiffin to start working on it.
Okay.
Tell him to start tweeting Dua Lipa and Trevor Noah.
Yep.
I'm sure that'll work. The Atlanta Braves swept a 3-game series from the New York Mets this weekend to take total control of the NL East. Their magic number is now 1. They have been trailing the New York Mets basically the entire season. And then you get to the last weekend of the regular season, and when you wake up on Monday, the Braves are in total control. If the Braves win one of their next 3 games or the Mets lose one of their next 3 games, the Braves will be NL East champions. Congratulations. We'll expand on that in just a second.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the ServiceMaster by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At ServiceMaster by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You the morning, then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my... Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Send me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you. Price winner.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and that's Memphis Barbecue Company. It's owned by Melissa Cookson. She's a 7-time world champion, star of Netflix, first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. So the barbecue's great. If you've been there, you know. If you haven't been there, I don't know what you're doing. Even Jeff Calkins drove all the way down from East Memphis just because he was like, I got to go check this out. I'll cross the state line to check this out. And if Jeff Calkins is willing to cross the state line to check it out, then you should be too. But understand, if you're not in the mood for barbecue, or somebody you're with isn't in the mood for barbecue, we've all been in that car, right? Hey, y'all want to grab something to eat? Sure, where you want to go? Let's get some pizza. I don't really feel like pizza. Okay, well then we'll do something else. Pizza's out. So I'm assuming, even though it doesn't make sense to me, somebody might in the car say, I don't really feel like barbecue. And you know what you say to them? That's okay. Memphis Barbecue Company's got stuff other than barbecue. They got salads, burgers, sandwiches, catfish, salmon, grilled chicken, chicken tenders, meatloaf, smoked wings. You can find something on the menu that's not barbecue that you'll enjoy. So if you want barbecue, go. If you don't want barbecue, go. Just make sure you go. It's located 709 DeSoto Cove from Memphis. Take 55 south to the Goodman Road exit. Get off, go right. You can see it from the interstate. Dine in 7 days a week and schedule a pickup order online at memphisbbqco.com. That's Memphis Barbecue Company. On the web, MemphisBBQCO.com. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock. Right now, we got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
The Atlanta Braves last night completed a 3-game sweep of the New York Mets to take a 2-game lead in the NL East. They now also own the tiebreaker if it were to come down to that, meaning barring a really shocking development, the Atlanta Braves are going to be your NL East champions once again. They just need to win one of their next 3. Or have the Mets lose one of their next 3. That's a pretty disappointing weekend.
What were your thoughts going into last night, Sunday Night Baseball? Because, like, you know, DeGrom and Scherzer had already been wasted at that point. But it's like, okay, you still just need one win, really, in this series.
Just need one win.
Was there confidence? Was you just dejected at that point?
No, not dejected. I don't know if confidence is the right word, but I still felt optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a believer until you show me I can't.
Yep.
Until I got nothing to believe in. I'll believe in you until you show me I shouldn't believe in you. And so Friday night went poorly. 5-2 loss. Saturday went poorly. 4-2 loss. But the Mets did lead in both of those games at one point. And I said, okay. Lost as a favorite on Friday with DeGrom on the mound. That's not good. Lost as a favorite on Saturday with Scherzer on the mound. That's not good. But you still got Chris Bassitt, an all-star level guy. Like probably the best number three starter in Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go win one. And if you win last night, then you're tied again in the NL East, but you own the tiebreaker, and you are in total control of the NL East standings heading to a three-game series with the Nationals. This is not an overstatement. Last night was the biggest game played all season in Major League Baseball between any two teams because it wasn't just two teams still competing for a division title. It was literally for the tiebreaker. They were 9-9 against each other heading into last night. They were 9-7 against each other. Mets 9 wins, Braves 7 heading into the series. Then the Braves win Friday, Saturday, so now it's 9-9. So last night basically was going to probably decide the NL East. If the Braves won, it's like, it's done. All the Braves got to do is win one game of the next three. Then the Mets would have to sweep the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
So Braves winning last night pretty much locked it up. I think 538 now has the Braves better than 98% chance to win the NL East. It's over. But if the Mets would have won last night, the Mets would have been probably like a 70% favorite to win the NL East, maybe even higher. That's how big of a game that was last night. And the Mets were up 3-1. And then it just fell apart like it always does.
Not good.
It's just not good.
There's just nothing. I can't say it, words of encouragement. I just, it's not good.
And do you know how badly, like they're still going to make the playoffs, right? That's mm-hmm. it. But how badly it changes everything. You go from getting a first-round bye to having to play the Padres probably in a three-game series this weekend. And if you get through it, you got to play the Dodgers instead of the Cardinals. You don't get to avoid the Dodgers in the second round. So it's just a mess.
Yeah.
Why'd they do that?
I don't know.
Why couldn't you just win one game?
That's all you needed.
I mean, you won 98 this year. Why couldn't you just win one? And now you don't even know what to root for. Like tonight, I swear I was driving in. My wife was like, what time's the best game tonight? I was like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter at this point.
Mets games don't matter anymore till Friday. Except they technically do, and here's the problem. You don't even know what to root for tonight. What I actually hope happens is just the Braves win 11-0 and it's just over. Because the worst case scenario for the Mets now in this moment is not the Braves winning it tonight or tomorrow night. You know what it is?
Hmm.
The Braves lose tonight and tomorrow. Mets win tonight and tomorrow. And you go into Wednesday, and if you're the Mets, you go, okay, well, this is crazy. But if we win today and the Braves lose today, we're the NL East champions. So you know what you do? You throw DeGrom.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know what happens? The Braves win.
And then you don't have DeGrom for your wild card.
You don't have him for the wild card. So what you actually, if you're an intelligent Mets fan, what you want right now is just the Braves to wrap this thing up. Just be done with it. Do not go into Wednesday with this thing still undetermined. Because if you go into Wednesday with this thing undetermined, the Mets are going to have to start Jacob DeGrom. And then odds are, because the Braves will be favored on Wednesday, even if they lose on Monday and Tuesday, odds are even if you win with DeGrom, the Braves win anyway. Which makes me think, and I don't think, because the whole reason they moved DeGrom up to Friday is so he could throw again on Wednesday, but I don't think they thought it would be, I don't think they'd be in this, they thought they'd be in this situation. I could actually make the argument, if you're Buck Showalter, even if you're tied with the Braves going into Wednesday, don't throw DeGrom. Because the Braves are probably going to win, and they got the tiebreaker. so it's probably a wasted start. I'd say go with somebody else. And, like, just try – all you try to do is beat the Nationals with somebody else. You'll be favored literally regardless of who you start. You'll be, like, minus 450 if you start DeGrom, but you'll be minus 150 if you start, you know, if you just do a bullpen game because you're playing the Nationals.
Yep.
So I'd try to win without DeGrom and, okay, go. Maybe you'll be the NLS champions after today, and if not, you got DeGrom ready to go game one against probably the Padres on Friday. And that's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Do you know how these wild card series work? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Three straight games.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know.
Best of three, like, and they're okay. All at the same field. So Mets are going to be hosting again probably the Padres. Game one, Citi Field. Game two, Citi Field. If necessary, game three, Citi Field. So I didn't expect to be watching a wild card series, but I'm happy to watch a wild card series. I think it'll be a lot of fun. This weekend, on the night, like, there are a lot of Mets jokes last night and today. And I get it. Like, you know, when you piss yourself like that, you go down to Atlanta in control of the NL East and just get swept with two first ballot Hall of Famers on the mound. Like, that's a, yeah, get your jokes off. I understand. But the truth is, though, the Mets collapsed this weekend. The root of this whole thing has not been the Mets collapse. Like, people all summer was talking about the Mets are going to fall apart. They really haven't. They fell apart this weekend. They have 98 wins. You know what happened? The Braves got awesome.
The Braves
awesome.
Are awesome, yeah.
The Braves are awesome. They were 22-24 on May 27th, Atlanta was. And you know what they did on that day? They called up Michael Harris, 21-year-old, who had barely been above A-level ball. For like 2 months, he'd been above A-level ball. 21-year-old from Georgia, they call him up. And he's been unbelievable. Since then, since they called up Michael Harris, put him in center field, they're 78-35. They have a winning percentage of .690, which is second only to the Dodgers in that stretch. Now, here's what's interesting. So that is the main thing that flipped this Atlanta season. Michael Harris came in and was an above-average bat in the middle of that lineup and an unbelievable center fielder. So since that day when they called him up, May 27th, they're 78-35, winning percentage of .690. There are only five teams in Major League Baseball that, since May 27th, have a winning percentage above .600. And you know who one of them is? The Mets. The Mets have been one of the five best teams in baseball even since the Braves took off. And they could not hold the Braves off because the Braves were arguably the best team in baseball for an extended period of time. So they're still probably going to win 100 games. They just got to win two of the next three against a bad Nationals team to get to 100 victories. So they didn't really collapse as much as the Braves just became awesome. Like, they are reigning World Series champions that look like they can do it again. And now I'll just watch the Mets and Padres all weekend, I guess.
Sorry, man.
It's not your fault.
Story number two.
I just don't care about anything else other than that.
Right. You need to get that off your chest.
NFL Players Association fired the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant who was involved in treating Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa after he was injured during a game against the Bills two Sundays ago. So we talked about this on Friday after Tua was taken off the field in a stretcher after suffering what appeared to be a second concussion in a five-day span, although the initial injury in that Sunday game was never technically labeled a concussion. So the person whose job it was to label that got fired.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And it just sort of, and this is all stuff we talked about Friday, it put on display an obvious loophole in the protocols. Like, it seems like this person did their job poorly, but I don't think they did their job poorly intentionally. I don't think there was any funny business going on. I think that you're just charged with observing certain things and asking certain questions. And if you get certain answers back to those questions, then you can reasonably. This is one where I think this happens all the time in life. You're too close to it so you can't see it, but from a distance it's crystal clear. Like, all of us watching on TV, we're like, Tua Tagovailoa is concussed.
Yep.
He's wobbly and he nearly fell down. But what this unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant saw was the same thing we saw, but then he's face to face with Tua Tagovailoa. We never got to be face to face with Tua Tagovailoa. We just got to see what we saw. And we were like, man, he doesn't need to be playing. But the doctor gets in front of him. We don't have all the details on this, but this is more or less the way it went down. Tua, you almost stumbled. How are you feeling? Oh, it's my back. My back locked up on me. I've got a back injury and my back just locked up on me, but I'm fine. So you almost stumbled because of my back. Yeah. So how you, let me look in. Do you know where you are? Of course. What's your name? Tua. What's your dog's name? Whatever. I got all the answers to everything. Mm-hmm. Sounds normal. Looks normal. He's telling me the reason he stumbled like that is because of his back. Go back in. That's what happened.
Yep.
On TV, we didn't get all that. We just saw a guy hit his head on the turf and then look like he was wobbly and should have come out of the game. But once this unaffiliated neurotrauma consultant gets in front of Tua Tagovailoa, by all accounts, he had all great answers for everything. Sounded right, looked right. So they clear him. And once you clear him to go back into that game, it is a closed case unless they want to reopen it. And when you are undefeated and you guys having a breakthrough year at quarterback, unless there are some obvious signs that he's dealing with head trauma, you don't look for them, or at least they didn't look for them. And even the Amazon Prime crew said when they met with Tua, you know, the day before the game, he sounded fine, looked fine, no issues whatsoever. So this is how this happened. But, and the Players Association has said this, there's got to be a way where we can avoid this happening. Like, we get why this happened, but when you see somebody's head hit the turf like that and they're wobbly, and this is, I think, ultimately where we're going to get. It won't matter what they tell you.
Right.
This is where we'll get to eventually.
You make the decision. It doesn't matter what the player says.
It doesn't matter what they tell you. Head hits the turf, gets up wobbly, you're out of this game. It doesn't matter if you look okay, sound okay, say the right things. In this instance, it's mattered that Tua Tagovailoa looked okay, sounded okay, and said all the right things. I think going forward, when they adjust these concussion protocols, you will have unaffiliated neurotrauma consultants on the sideline with access to video, and they will not make judgment calls based on what the player in question says at all. Just because you say it's your back, we're not going to believe it's your back. We saw your head hit that turf. We saw you get wobbly. We're going to let you watch the rest of this game, and we'll evaluate you further after it's over, but you're not getting back on the field. That's where we're headed. We just weren't there in time to save Tua Tagovailoa, in some ways, from himself.
Story number three.
Oh, we got a fishing controversy.
Yeah, what's going on?
You really didn't see this video?
No.
Okay, it's a wild video. So Friday, there's a big, lucrative walleye fishing tournament at Lake Erie. All right? Okay. You familiar with walleye?
I'm familiar with Lake Erie.
I think that's one of the Great Lakes.
Yeah, it is. That's correct.
Lake is it Erie. The greatest lake, though?
I'm trying to find the video.
Not sure it's the greatest lake. I think it's a lake. It's a great lake, but it's not the greatest. You familiar with a walleye?
No.
It's a fish.
Okay.
So you're out there catching walleye. I hope I'm saying that the right way. I mean, that's the way.
Walleye?
I mean, it's spelled walleye.
I don't know. I know about rainbow trout.
I know about catfish.
Yep.
So they're fishing for walleye. Let's just call it that, whether that's what it's supposed to be called or not. And these two fellas, they're getting their fish weighed.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm looking at the video.
And
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.